Radio. Coming up is the news.
At least two explosions rock Ukraine's port city of Odessa. Ukrainian officials blame Russia for the attack. Iraq files a complaint to the UN Security Council demanding an emergency meeting over a deadly artillery attack in northern Iraq blamed on Turkey. And ralliers take to the streets again to protest against President Kais Saied and his planned referendum on a new constitution. This is News. Thanks for joining us. Kyiv says Russia has launched a missile attack on the port city of Odessa. Russia has denied that claim. Ukrainian authorities are saying that caliber cruise missiles were used in the attack on the key Black Sea terminal. Two of the missiles reportedly hit port infrastructure facilities, while the other two were shot down by air defense forces. The Ukrainian Foreign Ministry has described the Odessa attack as a spit in the face of the UN and the Turkish president. The UN Secretary General Antonio Guterres has also condemned the strike. Moscow has told Ankara that it had nothing to do with the strike. That's according to the Turkish defense minister. The latest development comes less than 24 hours after Russia and Ukraine signed separate but identical accords with the UN and Turkey on reopening Ukrainian Black Sea ports for grain exports. Hungary is urging the EU to change its strategies in Ukraine, saying that Western sanctions on Moscow have failed.
West's strategy on Ukraine has failed as governments in Europe are collapsing like dominoes. Energy prices have surged. A new strategy is needed, which should focus on peace talks and drafting a good peace proposal instead of winning the war.
The Hungarian Prime Minister says the sanctions were aimed at destabilizing Russia's leadership in the war. He says, however, that Ukraine will never win the war this way, since the Russian army has symmetrically dominance. Viktor Orban says the war can come to an end only through peace talks between Russia and the U.S. Orban stressed that Hungary is unwilling to support the EU's limitations on Russian gas imports. He warned that this would undermine the European economy. The bloc has imposed a wave of sanctions on Russia, targeting its key sectors. In its latest round, the EU imposed a ban on importing gold from Russia and froze the assets of the country's top lender, Sberbank. Johnny Miller is our correspondent, joining us from Donbass to give us the latest. And we also have Marcus Papadopoulos, who's a historian and political analyst and author, joining us from London. Johnny Miller, first over to you. Any new developments coming out of this strike by a missile, or two of them, actually, two of which were thwarted? And Russia has relayed to Turkey that it had nothing to do with it. What can you add to that?
We still don't really know what happened. Ukraine and Russia continue to blame each other. I was actually at a grain silo north of where I am now in the city of Donetsk a few days ago. A huge grain silo, and it had been destroyed. One of those tragic sights I've seen in this war, when humanity is literally bombing its own food supplies. Russia and Ukraine blame each other for that strike on that silo, just as they are blaming each other now for what is happening in Odessa. There's no doubt that Ukrainians may well try to use this outlet for the grains in order to somehow make use of it militarily. Russia continued to strike at military targets around Ukraine, so we're not clear about what's happened in Odessa. I think there's clearly an interest on both sides for this deal to go ahead, the grain to get out. Otherwise, we wouldn't sign this deal in Turkey with the United Nations. But obviously, this is a shooting war in which Russia is trying to damage military targets in Ukraine, and Ukraine is also trying to make out Russia to being to blame. But we still don't know really what happened in Odessa.
Marcus Papadopoulos, I don't know what your thoughts are on Viktor Orban, but he has said that in order for this conflict to either come to an end or for there to be some kind of solution, Russia needs to talk to the U.S. Doesn't that speak volumes, given the fact that the other side should be Ukraine and not the U.S.?
Well, for 30 years, Russia asked, told, warned the United States not to extend its tentacles to Ukraine, because Ukraine is of paramount importance to Russian national security, and also Ukraine is integral to the Russian national identity. Also, great powers, whether we like this or not, have spheres of influence. America has its spheres of influence, such as Mexico, such as Japan and Canada. And Russia, being a great power, also has its spheres of influence, one of the countries being Ukraine. But alas, the Americans disregarded what the Kremlin told them for 30 years. And that is why we are confronted now with a war between Ukraine and Russia. And regarding Viktor Orban's comments, well, I agree with the Hungarian leader entirely. If there is to be a peace treaty secured between Kiev and Moscow, then the Americans have to tell their puppets in Kiev, and let's be very clear, that Zelensky and the rest of the Ukrainian government are puppets of Washington. Washington must tell Kiev that a military victory against Russia is an impossibility. Therefore, to save countless lives, including the lives of civilians, there must be a peace treaty secured between Kiev and Moscow. But regrettably, Washington cares nothing for mankind. America cares nothing for the Ukrainian population. To America, the Ukrainian population is merely a tool, is merely a weapon to use against Russia to try and destroy the Russian military, to try and destroy the Russian economy, and therefore to try and destroy Russia's status as a superpower. But Viktor Orban, again, is absolutely correct. Russia has been winning this war from the day the Russian army entered Ukraine, and Russia will be victorious, despite the deluge of deceit being put out by Western mainstream media. Okay. There is no chance that Ukraine can win this war. Once the Russian army crossed the border into Ukraine, then the Kremlin was given its opportunity to ensure that its southern border could never be threatened by Ukraine becoming a member of NATO. That is why the Russian army cannot and will not be defeated in this war.
Johnny Miller, there were reports of two Americans to have died in Donbass, and this did not bring any real information from the State Department. And the way it was described was that they're part of the foreign fighters that are in Ukraine. So you have Americans that are classified as foreign fighters fighting in Ukraine, which is one point. But the other is, do you have any information on this?
Well, there's many foreign fighters fighting for Ukraine. There's a Swedish fighter killed a few days ago, I think a German as well. So there's many foreign fighters fighting for Ukraine, a couple of Americans in captivity here in the Donetsk People's Republic as well. It's not clear whether they're associated with the American government or whether they're volunteers who've come over to fight for Ukraine. We should find out some more information soon of just who they were. Following on from your other speaker there, I'd also say that this war is a failure of European leadership, particularly Germany and France. Macron is often still on the phone to President Putin. And it's the United States and Britain who are pushing this war and have been from the start, much more than the European powers. Germany, of course, now is saying to its people that they're going to have to struggle through the winter with fewer gas supplies. And I think there's an interest, particularly in France and Germany. France hasn't been giving too many weapons to Ukraine. One French journalist I spoke to told me that France is just doing enough to sort of satisfy NATO. But I think this war has been a failure of European leadership to allow this to go on. Germany fueling a proxy war against its biggest major gas supplier seems like a very strange policy. And so you may well see some European countries, and you are increasingly seeing some political figures in Europe starting to question whether fueling this proxy war is the right idea for the European people.
Very well. Thank you very much for that. Marcus Papadopoulos there, historian, political analyst, and author. I'd also like to thank Johnny Miller, our correspondent on the ground. Thank you so much, Johnny. Iraq says it has taken a complaint to the UN Security Council over a Wednesday attack on northern Iraq blamed on Turkey. It has asked for an emergency meeting of the council on the issue. The foreign ministry says that Baghdad wants Ankara to pull all of its forces out of Iraq. The ministry says Turkey should also formally apologize for its crimes and to pay compensation to the families of victims. Meanwhile, Foreign Minister Fuad Hussein says that Iraq does not want to provoke tensions in its relations with Turkey. Rather, it seeks to open dialogue with Ankara. 9 people were killed in the shelling of the Kurdish village that the Iraqi government blames on Turkey. Ankara has denied any involvement, saying the attack was committed by terrorist organizations. Iraqi people have held protests against Turkey. Political party Saib al-Haq has called on parliament to take measures to hold Turkey accountable for the attack. The group, which also has a military wing, has warned of countering the Turkish aggression if legislators fail to take necessary action. Political analyst Mohammed Abeid says that Turkey uses security reasons as a pretext to fulfill its ambitions in unstable countries like Iraq or Syria.
We have a similar situation which is being dealt in Syria also. Turkey using the pretext of security concerns in order to invade and create some regional borderlines for the areas that the same is being applied in Turkey. In a nutshell, it is the creation of this chaotic situation in countries, basically by the Americans, by their allies in the region, and then for Turkey to come and harvest the outcome of this in order to fulfill its ambitions and regional territories, and whether in Syria or in Iraq. So, of course, there is an unnatural situation when it comes to the Kurdish issue, which needs to be dealt politically by the Turkey officials in this regard in the first place. Then there won't be such a problem in all these areas. So, once again, it is Turkey using and exploiting the unstable situations in its neighboring countries in order to fulfill its ambitions, which are clear to everybody, whether in Aleppo, whether in northern Iraq, in the oil areas in these countries. So it is not, it's only a pretext which is being used in order to serve these goals.
Turning now to Tunisia, where people have gathered in the capital to protest a referendum on the country's new constitution put forward by President Kais Saied. Protesters and opposition parties call the referendum illegal and unconstitutional. They say the draft constitution legitimizes a one-man rule that they firmly oppose. Critics argue that President Saied is giving himself nearly unlimited presidential powers. The new draft was published less than a month ago. Since then, opposition parties and activist groups have been calling for a boycott of Saied's referendum. On Friday, police used pepper spray and batons to disperse demonstrators, arresting several of them. The draft constitution is the centerpiece of Saied's program to overhaul Tunisia's political system. Last year, he dismissed the government and dissolved parliament. That was regarded by many as a coup against democracy. Death toll rises to 21 following a flash flood in Iran's southern city of Isfahan. 2 people have gone missing. The flood has also affected several other cities in the southern province of Fars. Seasonal rains, starting from Friday afternoon, have raised water levels of local rivers. Footage released on social media show cars caught in the rising water and carried away as parents try to rescue their children. Rescue operations are underway in a 10-kilometer area along the main river. Iran has endured repeated droughts over the past decade. On to Italy, firefighters there are battling angry wildfires that are sweeping across the country. The Italian Meteorological Service has issued high temperature warnings in the northeast, where fire brigades are grappling with fires that broke out on Friday. In Lazio, groups are trying to put out the blaze from the sky. Thousands have been ordered to evacuate their homes. Italy is experiencing its worst drought in 70 years. High temperatures are likely to hamper firefighting efforts over the coming days, meaning additional wildfire growth is likely. And that does it for World News. Bye-bye for now.
From the heart of beautiful Iran. IRIB English Radio.
Hello, I'm Mubarak Kenya, and a big welcome to this week's edition of Africa Today.
Stay tuned with Africa Today.
Africa Today.
For many years, there have been efforts led by the African Union to silence guns in the continent in an attempt to achieve a conflict-free Africa. Now, the embassy of the Islamic Republic of Iran in Nairobi, Kenya, has supported the African Union's endeavors to flush out illegal firearms by holding a cartoon festival. The Iranian ambassador to Kenya, Dr. Jafar Barmaki, speaks here during the conclusion of the festival in Nairobi.
Through this festival, the embassy, in line with the efforts of African Union, has accelerated the two calls to action by assimilating both 2020 and 2021 themes, which has enabled a promotion of African culture and heritage while fast-tracking on silencing the guns in Africa.
Hello, I'm Mubarak Kenya, and a warm welcome to Africa Today, a weekly program that gives you an alternative view of news and events making headlines in Africa. This week's edition is focusing on how the Iranian embassy in Nairobi uniquely contributed to the African Union silencing the guns in Africa agenda by organizing an international cartoon festival. The second segment of our program will be on the ongoing tensions between Rwanda and the mineral-rich Democratic Republic of Congo. We are asking, what is the source of the current tensions in this volatile region? Stay with us till the end of our show.
Cartoons Exhibition, Silencing Guns in Africa. Silencing the Guns in Africa agenda is a flagship initiative of the African Union's Agenda 2063 that aspires to end all wars, conflict, and gender-based violence, and to prevent genocide. Speaking at the closing of the 14th Extraordinary Session of the Assembly of Heads of State and Government of the African Union, AU, on silencing the guns, South African President Cyril Ramaphosa said efforts to silence the guns will continue for the next 10 years.
The AU must have roadmap on practical steps to silence the guns clearly outlines the outcomes we seek to achieve as a continent. It is therefore appropriate that we reiterate our commitment to extend the master roadmap for the next 10 years, while we also continue to declare September of each year as Africa Amnesty Month.
The Islamic Republic of Iran is a long-standing partner of the African Union, and it is within this framework that the Iranian Embassy in Nairobi last year organized a World Cartoon Festival on applying arts and culture in silencing the guns in Africa. In collaboration with the Regional Center on Small Arms in the Great Lakes region, the Horn of Africa and bordering states. Now, to discuss more about this festival and its impact, we contacted the Iranian ambassador to Kenya, Dr. Jafar Barmaki. Thanks a lot, sir, for your time today.
Thank you. Thank you for having me on an interview.
Now, Mr. Ambassador, what made you join the African Union's initiative of silencing the guns in Africa to achieve a conflict-free Africa to prevent genocide and end wars in the continent?
As you may know, and your audiences, that Africa has a very special place in our foreign policy. And in this regard, we are trying to help Africa to come up with the challenges at the moment. And the silencing the gun, as was presented by African Union some years ago, we try to be help in that regard and to send a message around the world, because if you just have that project in Africa, I'm sure it cannot be worked, because we need to send message to the other countries. It is not only Africa who can work on that issue, but they need the other countries to get on board. This is why I try to send this message through cartoon to the other part of the world. And as you may know, some countries trying such kind of situation in Africa to plunder the resources of the African continent. Therefore, it is very important to have peace in this continent to prevent plundering resources by the other countries.
The Embassy of Iran in Nairobi marked the 2021 International Day of Peace by awarding artists who participated and won in the World Cartoon Festival on silencing the guns in Africa. Globally, the winner was Cao Gomes from Brazil.
Hello, everyone. It's a great honor for me to receive this award at this festival. It's a very important and special moment that values my ideas and drawings. The choosing theme is very urgent and call for a lot of reflection and political action.
I'd like to ask Ambassador Barmaki to tell us more about the response from local Kenyan and international cartoonists to this cartoon festival.
It was really fantastic, because we received lots of cartoons around the world, more than 70 countries. I mean, cartoonists from more than 70 countries sent their artworks to the secretariat of the festival, not only from the other countries, but also we had lots of cartoons from African countries, although cartoon is not very much developed as in the other countries in Africa. Therefore, but it was very good. Well, we really amazed by the number of the cartoons we received. It was more than 1,000 cartoons.
Now, the Director of Capacity Building and Institutional Development at the Regional Center on Small Arms spoke during the awarding ceremony of winning cartoonists and lauded the Iranian Embassy in Nairobi for this initiative.
Ending conflicts, addressing proliferation, illicit trade, and trafficking of small arms, which are the weapons of choice and are at the core of all conflicts in Africa is a huge task that needs concerted effort within and outside the region.
Now, what was the response of the African Union or African governments to this cartoon festival that you organized?
Unfortunately, a kind of political approach they got about this cartoon festival. Although I tried to reach African Union, United Nations in Kenya, as you know, we have two specialized agencies, United Nations Environment Program and United Nations Human Settlement Program in Nairobi. The headquarters are here, so they are the only headquarters in developing countries. Therefore, I tried to get them on board and several other organizations, but unfortunately, due to the political approach they taken, we couldn't have them on board. And although the governments, even the Kenyan governments, were not very helpful in that regard. But since I decided to have this cartoon festival, to send a message around the world and to keep silencing the gun projects alive, so I did my best. And I think somehow I was successful.
In December of 2020, the African Union decided to extend the Silencing the Guns initiative until 2030. One of the most effective ways of supporting its plan of action can be through cultural festivals such as the Cartoon Festival, organized by the Iranian Embassy in Nairobi. For the African Union initiative to be successful, a wide spectrum of the society needs to be involved.
And any initiative cannot be only on paper. If you are looking to see that kind of initiative to be successful, you need to get as much as possible people's, organizations, governments to be on board. And in my point of view, it was very good that to send message through cartoons. And I could see when we had the exhibition here, because after the closing of the festival, we hold almost 10 days exhibition in Nairobi. And I could see that many ambassadors who visited the exhibition, they were very excited that how the people around the world think about silencing the guns in Africa.
The language of cartoons is truly universal, and it brings together hearts and minds of people from diverse cultural backgrounds. Now, do you think cartoon festivals like the one you organize can indeed be a medium of bringing cultures together?
As I mentioned, from among the prize winners, you can see that they are from Latin America, and it is far from Africa. But they understand the situation. It shows that they understand each other, and they can bring the culture closer to each other. This is why I'm trying to hold the exhibition of the selected artworks around the world. I had in some month ago, I had in British Columbia, in Canada, the workshop, the exhibition, and nowadays it is held in Brazil, and in Kenya we had. In near future, we are going to have in Iran, and I'm still working with my colleagues around the world to hold this exhibition in other countries, and I'm sure it will help.
Thank you, Ambassador Barmaki, for your time. That was the Iranian ambassador to Kenya speaking on the World Cartoon Festival on applying arts and culture in silencing the guns in Africa. Now, as we mentioned earlier in the program, the global winner of the festival's cartoon competition was a Brazilian. Now, following the good response from Brazilian cartoonists, the Iranian embassy in Brazil organized an exhibition of the World Cartoon Festival on Silencing the Guns in Africa at the University of Brasilia. Now, to get a brief insight on this, we contacted Iran's ambassador to Brazil, Dr. Hussein Gharibi. Thanks, Mr. Ambassador, for your time today.
You're most welcome.
Now, what made you think of holding this Silencing the Guns in Africa cartoon festival in Brazil?
You know, it was a theme of festival that was held in Africa last year with our embassy in Kenya organized this event. And a good number of people participated, artists from all over the world participated in this contest. And the winner was a Brazilian, Carl Gomes, from Belo Horizonte, a city in Brazil, was the first winner. So I decided to invite him to the capital, to Brasilia, in order to present to him his award and also to have the opportunity to put on display all the artwork that we received for the festival. And the best place was the University of Brasilia in this city. It is the biggest university in the capital, and now all artworks are on display.
A leading Cuban cartoonist, famously known as Aris, took the second position globally in the festival. And again from Cuba, Michel Moro Gomez took the third position. Let's listen to their speech here after learning that they were winners.
Hi. First, I want to express my gratitude to the organizers of this event, the Embassy of the Islamic Republic of Iran in Nairobi, Kenya. This World Cartoon Festival, Silencing the Guns in Africa, is a very important issue because we are talking about peace. I'm so happy to know that I am one of the cartoonists who won an award in this festival, and I have African blood in my veins, and it made me feel even happier. Congratulations to the winners and to the organizers. Bye.
Hello, dear friends. My name is Michel Moro Gomez from Cuba. It is my pleasure, this invitation, to share a few words with you. I believe that is a great idea to celebrate a festival with the topic Silence the Guns in Africa, because it is a way to show one of the biggest issues that lash this continent. It was a motivation to me to doubt about this topic, to fight by the peace through a creative form and from the art. Thank you very much and greetings to everybody.
Now, what is the importance of holding such competitions and how can they act as a catalyst for dialogue and peace among cultures?
I can say that the art is the global language. Through art, people can communicate with each other without interpretation, without usual translation. So this language is very much affected. And I could see, 62 artworks from 15 countries. They had a lot of common elements in them. And the turnout of the university students and other people interested in going and seeing the artworks in the University of Brasilia is really amazing, and it shows how art can affect people, and we can use this language in order to promote peace and peaceful societies.
Thank you very much, Ambassador Gharibi. Now, our next topic is still on issues of conflict, and we shall be discussing the ongoing tensions between Rwanda and the Democratic Republic of Congo. But before we move to our next topic, we shall take a short break. Stay with us.
Rwanda, DRC tensions. You're listening to Africa Today.
Africa Today is an analytical weekly review of political, economic, and social events in Africa, the world's second largest continent. The series is broadcast every week on Saturdays and Sundays by IRIB English Radio.
Democratic Republic of Congo has accused Rwanda of backing the M23 rebels, which Rwanda denies. And this has sparked a diplomatic row between the two neighboring countries. The March 23 movement, famously or infamously known as M23, is a former Tutsi-dominated rebellion that was defeated in 2013 and took up arms again late last year, blaming Kinshasa for not respecting agreements on the demobilization and reintegration of its fighters.
The tensions between Kinshasa and Kigali raised concerns over the possibility of the conflict escalating further in this volatile Great Lakes region. Congolese President Felix Tshisekedi and his Rwandan counterpart, Paul Kagame, have agreed to a de-escalation process between their two countries following bilateral talks to address rising tensions on their mutual border. The two leaders held the talks in Luanda, Angola's capital, at a tripartite summit hosted by Angolan president who was appointed by the African Union to mediate.
The Congolese president expressed hope that the talks will lead to the withdrawal of the M23 rebels.
I really hope and expect this process to bring about an immediate ceasefire and the withdrawal of this M23 group. Well, obviously waiting for the process to be set in motion, the roadmap that will lead to a process of peace, stability and confidence.
To discuss the Rwanda-DRC tensions, we have contacted Claude Gatabuke, the executive director of the Africa Great Lakes Action Network. Now, what is the source of tensions between Rwanda and the Democratic Republic of Congo?
The source of the tension between Rwanda and the DRC, the very base and bottom of it is Congo's resource. And Congo is the richest country in the world in terms of natural resources. And what we have is $24 trillion worth of resources. And Rwanda is basically a conduit for multinational companies and foreign countries that are looting the Congo. So the M23 rebellion, to keep it simple for the audience, is actually Rwanda's military invading the Congo.
The Democratic Republic of Congo is potentially one of the richest countries on Earth. This country plays a significant role in the world supply of cobalt, copper, diamond, tin, and gold. The country produces over 70% of globally produced cobalt. These mineral riches have made the DRC a target of regional and trans-regional neo-colonial powers seeking to loot and plunder the Central African country. The government of Rwanda has categorically rejected claims that it backs M23 rebels in the eastern DRC.
There is no presence of Rwandan soldiers in DRC. And from there, there could not be any collaboration with any other force present in Eastern DRC if there is no presence of Rwandan soldiers.
Are foreign or trans-regional powers involved in the recurring conflict between these two countries?
Definitely. Foreign, trans, and trans-regional powers are involved. There is a bunch of mining companies, many of them Canadian, and a bunch of others from various other countries in Europe and around the world, including the US, including the UK, France, Belgium, and others, Australia, that are all involved in the exploitation of Congo and the Congolese people.
Rwanda and the Democratic Republic of Congo have agreed to a de-escalation process following one-day talks between their presidents, mediated by Angola. However, renewed clashes between M23 rebels and DRC forces have led to concern that the truce between Kigali and Kinshasa will not last.
The DRC has accepted a proposal for an East African regional force to be deployed in its east to help control the violence, but only if Rwanda does not take part. Now, do you think this force can restore peace in eastern DRC?
We do not need more military in the Congo. We need justice in the Congo in order for the Congo and the region to actually prosper. So the recommendations in the UN mapping exercise report to set up international tribunals to try the perpetrators of the crimes in the Congo is going to bring about lasting peace. I don't think the force is going to bring lasting peace. I do think that justice is going to bring lasting peace, starting with using the UN mapping exercise report of 2010 as a basis for persecuting the perpetrators of those crimes.
Well, there you have it. The conflict in the DRC does not have a military solution, but rather there should be justice for peace to prevail. I would like to thank our guest, Claude Gachabuke, for his incisive analysis today. And that brings us to the end of yet another edition of Africa Today. Goodbye for now.
Ocean of Dua.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين ثم الصلاة والسلام على سيدنا محمد وآله الطاهرين Hello everyone, brothers and sisters. I am Sayyid Muhammad Hassan Mudarisi with you with another edition of the program, The Ocean of Dua. In this edition of the program, we'll have a glance at Kumail's supplication and we'll discuss a commentary on that. We'll be back in a few seconds, so stay tuned. وليت شعري يا سيدي وإلهي ومولاي أتسلط النار على وجوه خرت لعظمتك ساجدا وعلى ألسن نطقت بتوحيدك صادقا وبشكرك مادحا وعلى قلوب اعترفت بإلهيتك محققا وعلى ضمائر حوت من العلم بك حتى صارت خاشعة وعلى جوارح سعت إلى أوطان تعبدك طائعة
Brothers and sisters, as you were previously with us, we were talking about this excerpt of the Kumail supplication. وليت شعري يا سيدي وإلهي ومولاي أتسلط النار على وجوه خرت لعظمتك ساجدة وعلى ألسن نطقت بتوحيدك صادقة. Would that I knew, my master and my lord, my protector, whether you will give the fire dominion over the faces fallen down, prostrating before your greatness, and the tongues voicing sincerely the profession of your oneness. وعلى قلوب اعترفت بإلهيتك محققة, and the hearts acknowledging your divinity by verification. وعلى ضمائر حوت من العلم بك حتى صارت خاشعة, and the limbs speeding to the places of your worship in obedience, and entreating your forgiveness in submission. ما هكذا الظن بك, such opinion is not held of you, ولا أخبرنا بفضلك عنك يا كريم يا رب. We said that one of the most important requisites of the acceptance of prayer, and also one of the most important states of the true servant, is this having good idea about Allah. A human who is a believer, righteous and virtuous servant, who is going to seek Allah's path during his lifetime, will have a good idea about Allah's mercy, forgiveness and blessings. He is always in fear of the hereafter. He's always in fear of the chastisement of hereafter. But he's always hopeful of the benevolence of his Lord, because he knows, he has recognized his Lord, and this entertaining a good opinion of the Almighty Allah is one part of true recognition. In this regard, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, لَا يَمُوتَنَّ أَحَدُكُمْ إِلَّا وَهُوَ يُحْسِنُ الظَّنَّ بِاللَّهِ. Do not die and depart from this world till you have formed a good opinion about God. فَإِنَّ حُسْنَ الظَّنِّ بِاللَّهِ ثَمَنُ الْجَنَّةِ. Since this is the price for heaven. The Prophet ﷺ says, if you have good opinion about the Almighty Allah, you have accumulated this wealth of entering paradise. This is the price, and you have it. حُسْنُ الظَّنِّ بِاللَّهِ مِنْ عِبَادَةِ اللَّهِ. This is the reason. Because forming a good opinion of the Almighty Allah is a kind of worshipping Him. What kind of a mercy this is. Where else can you find this level of mercy in this world? Except from the originator of the mercy Himself. The Lord we are worshipping counts even our حُسْنُ الظَّنِّ, the state of mind, as our worshipping. That is why we have to be confident of the response and of the mercy of our Lord.
I wish I had known, O my Master, my God and my Lord, will you inflict fire upon faces which have submissively bowed in your prostration to your greatness, or upon the tongues which have sincerely confirmed your unity and have always expressed gratitude to you, or upon hearts which have acknowledged your divinity with conviction, or upon the minds which accumulated so much knowledge of you until they became submissive to you, or upon the limbs which strove to the places appointed for your worship, to adore you willingly and seek your forgiveness submissively. Such harshness is not expected from you, as it is far from your grace. O generous one, O Lord, you are aware of my weakness to bear even a minor affliction of this world and its consequence and adversity, although such afflictions are momentary, short-lived and transient.
Thank you, Allah, God, let me hear, feeling so good about all the things that we went through, knowing that God speaks with us too. It's not a dream, this is so true, and we know we'll be here forever. The feeling is indescribable, knowing that this is our reward.
The ocean of dua.
So this is the importance of recognition of the Almighty Allah we have earlier discussed. Belief in His absolute power and strength in actualizing what we, the servants, ask from Him. It is reported that once Imam Sadiq alayhi salam recited this verse, أَمَّنْ يُجِيبُ الْمُضْطَرَّ إِذَا دَعَاهُ وَيَكْشِفُ السُّوءُ. Is he not the one who answers the call of the distressed person when he invokes him, subhanahu wa ta'ala? He, alayhi salam, was asked, why is it that we invoke sometimes, but we are not answered? And Imam alayhi salam replies, because you invoke one whom you do not recognize. You need to pray for the one who you know. And this is logical. If you want to set up a connection, you need to set a goal, an objective, a destination for that connection in your mind. I mean, the direction you are moving must be specified. It must be fixed. This tradition is emphasizing on the importance of the role of the supplicant's awareness, of the one whom he is praying. And this entertaining a good opinion of the Almighty Allah is part of that recognition. That is why Allah says, I am as my servant thinks of me. And part of recognition is that supplicants should know that Allah is near to him, nearer than any other thing, and that he, subhanahu wa ta'ala, is always aware of what his soul tempts him to do. Then he will always stay hopeful, even though sometimes his body organs will not accompany his soul. But he himself is always sure that he is hopeful of his mercy, and at the same time, he is afraid. Afraid that he might have sometimes committed sins, he might have had shortcomings, but this does not lead him to this state of despair or qunut. Brothers and sisters, I assume we have talked enough about this part of the Kumail supplication, and in the next episode, we will try to discuss the next part, God willing. We ask the Almighty Allah to set us among the guided ones and the people of the straight path, and to give us the ability to entertain and hold a good opinion of Him. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Thank you, dear listeners of IRIB English, for listening to us. If you have any question regarding our programs, feel free to email us at englishradio@irib.ir. Also, visit our website at parstoday.com. Until the next program, take care and goodbye. Allah, ya Allah, guide me all the way to your Jannah. Ya Allah, ya Allah, don't let me go astray, cause I need you by my side. I wish to be close to you through half my life. Ya Allah, oh Allah, be with me all the way.
You have just listened to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran broadcasting. The Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran is broadcast daily from 1920 to 2020 UTC on the following frequencies. 31 meters, 9,855 kilohertz for Europe, and 31 meters, 9,835 kilohertz for Southern Africa, and FM 91.5 megahertz for Tehran. You can also listen to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran on Hotbird, Eutelsat 3B, and IranSat or Bat 5, and via the internet. Our internet address is parstoday.com/en. And now you can listen to IRIB English Radio via your mobile phone. Please refer to our website for the details.
This is IRIB English Radio. Coming up is the news.